Loveline is meant for an adult audience.
Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Adam Carolla, Dr. Drew.
I'm not modeling anymore for the two of you.
Loveline.
Yep, this is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew. Anyone who's a fan of the show knows Dr. Bruce's work, and I'd like to apologize for that right up front. Dr. Bruce is a board-certified physician. He's a specialist in emergency medicine as well as addiction medicine, and he's also a philanthropist. He donates his time
Are you becoming my agent?
Shut up. He donates his time working in the California correctional facility, removing tattoos from gang members.
They pay me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What do they pay you? Is it an hourly rate?
It's part of the contract. I can't discuss the details, but
I am also
a philanthropist, however, so.
Yeah.
You know, it's a great program. I'll say hi to the guys in Chino.
I'd like to say hi to them, too, and I'd like to ask for my stereo back, if that's possible.
It's a great program, getting tattoos off, especially some of the facial tattoos. And when you have certain inflammatory remarks towards the police department on your forehead, tough getting a job in L.A.
F the LAPD.
Yeah. One of the more famous tattoos.
It's hard landing that job.
Right.
I understand. All right, Bruce, so I'll tell you what, I'll make a little note to hear the Dr. Drew shuffle and or boogie and some of those out-of-context Dr. Drew drops that we always enjoy.
You never get tired of those, do you?
Never. Hey, there's two things that I never tire of comedically. One is my own nasally drone. There's actually three. Two is farting. I laugh every time I fart. I laugh every time someone else farts. I laugh when there's farting going on.
Mm.
And three is the out-of-context Drew drops, as I like to call them. Yeah, yeah. Give me just a few of those, Anderson.
There's a wives' tale out there that black males have larger penises.
Cornhole.
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 Anderson's been working overtime.
Oh, yeah. Anderson, give me a few. Do you have a few?
Yes, the NAR.
Yeah.
We'd delight if you could make it a party. All right. Okay.
It's always funny. It never gets old. And the Drew Boogie and the Drew Shuffle, which we'll play before the night is up, it's just a compilation of the whole thing.
You're pussies.
Ooh. Drew. He's out of control lately.
Mm.
Shelly?
Yeah.
You're 28?
Uh-huh.
What's up with you, Salty?
Actually, my name's Kelly.
Oh, it's Kelly.
Yeah.
Oh, it says Shelly up there. All right, Kelly, what's up?
Well, I had a yeast infection for probably about a month, and then I got, like, a rash, and I didn't know if that was common.
Like, was it self-diagnosed yeast infection, or just see your gynecologist?
Well, I had had it before, had one,
oh, boy.
So I knew what it was.
Oh, okay.
You got a little yeasty on the peckeroo.
It's common to have it may look like a rash, and the thing is, if you've already treated it yourself and no one's looked at it, you should have an exam, and sometimes they'll take a culture, some scrapings, and
well, don't say
definitively,
scrapings. You'll never get her in there.
Yeah, it does sound a little irritating.
Yeah, it's like she has a big block of provolone cheese or something they're going to scrape off of.
Well,
listen, just go to the gynecologist.
Yeah, it's great having over-the-counter medications available. The patients don't come in as frequently as self-diagnosed, and sometimes there are other things causing the problems.
Michelle?
Hi.
You're 14. What's up?
Yeah, only older guys are attracted to me, and I just want to know if that's, like, my fault or there's nothing I can do to, like, get guys my own age.
Well, blame your dad, but how old are these guys?
Like, 18 and 16.
I see. Well, I mean, you're 14.
Yeah, like, I never do anything with them.
Okay.
I can meet out with this one guy, but that was it.
All right. What are you, in the ninth grade?
Yeah.
Okay. And you're in high school then, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, see, this is why I don't like the plan of putting the ninth graders in with the high schoolers. When I was in high school, it was 10th, 11th, and 12th. Now it's 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. And here's the thing about high school. Anyone who's in the confines of that high school is fair game. So you're going to have
18-year-old guys.
You have a certain percentage of seniors, guys that are 18 years old, banging away with ninth graders who are 14. And it's sort of, like I said, it's like fair game. It's like they're all in the same prison. That is my one, that would be an argument against that.
I wonder how she looks. I wonder if she looks,
You look mature?
Yeah.
Okay.
Like people come up to me and they're like, so are you graduating this year?
Right, alright, so,
Well, girls that look more mature get into more trouble. Statistically, they have more problems. So it works against you, actually. And the best thing to do is try and stick with kids your own age. And you're gonna have that happen, you just have to get used to it. And stay away from the older guys.
All right. Well, she doesn't sound like she's getting in any trouble.
No.
And listen, there's not a 14-year-old girl out there in America these days that is not having some guy who's in the 11th or 12th grade hitting on her.
Yeah. Well,
that's just the way it goes. Your job is to ward them off. Chase?
Yeah?
You're 17.
Oh, yeah. I got, like, two little problems. Like, first one is, like, I'm 17. I don't have nobody here.
Yeah. All right. Well, what's your nationality?
I'm Hispanic.
Yeah. Well, the Mexicans, they don't have a lot of...
Well,
what does that mean? Are you Mexican?
How do you go right to nationality? Chase,
yeah.
You're saying you live by yourself.
Mexicans don't have a lot of body hair. You know why? So they can slide under the border more easily. No, I don't know what... I just made that one up, Chase.
Thank you.
Listen, there's certain nationalities, certain cultures, they don't have a lot of body hair. Others are very hairy. Mexicans don't have a lot of hair, and I'm guessing it's because they come from a very warm climate. I think people that come from very warm climates don't have African men don't have a lot of hair on them traditionally.
Chase,
right?
You started with the wrong problem. What's your next problem?
What's wrong with that?
That's fodder for your humor.
No. Hold on a second, you big jackass.
Sliding into the...
Certain nationalities don't have a lot of hair on them. And Mexican is one of them.
What happened to you? You got the overabundance.
I'm Italian. I got hair on me.
Places we don't want to discuss.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You can't get a hat big enough to cover the hair coming out of your head.
Chase, that's a national thing. You have it on your groin?
Yeah.
All right. That's fine. And also, let me tell you something about hair growth in guys, too. Puberty is one thing with the genitalia growth and all that kind of stuff. But a lot of guys, I mean, I've seen pictures of myself with my shirt off and, when I was 18, 19. I got a lot more hair on my chest now than I did. It keeps going. You'll be making a move between age, 28 and 38 as far as the hair on your body.
Chase, people like Adam are wasting their testosterone on the hair in their head when in places that count they don't have any. So
that's okay.
What's your second problem,
Bruce? Let me warn you about trying to entertain. Please don't do it.
Okay.
Go ahead, Chase.
All right, when I have sex, like, my nipples leak.
How long has that been going on?
Like a year.
Both sides?
Just my right one.
Okay. Just your right side?
Yeah.
All right. When you have discharge from your nipples, if it's both sides, you worry about possibly prolactinoma, a tumor that secretes prolactin, which makes your breast secrete milk. Just one side, you worry about a tumor or an infection. So you should have that checked out by a doctor. Even though breast cancer and tumors are rare in males, I think about 5% of breast tumors occur in males, that's something that has to be examined. So over a year's period of time, it's unlikely that you have an infection, but it could be. So you have to have it examined.
Yeah, you got to check into that kind of stuff. Now, would it be better to have both or just one? I didn't catch what you were saying.
Well, both. There are many things that can cause increased prolactin, which stimulates the milk production, and medications, opiates, things like phenothiazine, things you give for nausea, and hypertensive medications. But it's bad if it's a tumor in your brain, causing secretion of the
spleen. So it wouldn't be a tumor in your chest. It'd be a tumor in your brain.
Secreting prolactin, which stimulates the breast to make milk.
And so if you're getting it out of both of them, then it would suggest it was a tumor in your head.
Right, something that's systemic or something system-wide.
So that wouldn't be great.
No.
Well,
many of them are
not. You say it would be good.
They're not the...
You say it'd be good to have a tumor in your head to make...
Everything's relative. Milk? It's good related to certain other cancers.
Okay. The point is you should get yourself checked out.
Right.
All right. But it's probably not the tumor. It'd be coming out of both, right?
I like this one better.
There you go. Steve?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey, you're 18. How you doing?
I'm all right. I want to know how to make anal sex easier on my girlfriend, because we're thinking about doing it for the first time.
I see.
And I want to know how to make it easier on her.
All right. Well, let me give you a couple of tips.
Besides not doing it.
It's good to get a towel, small towel, like a hand towel, and roll it up real tight, put some rubber bands around it so it sort of forms a long tube, and give her that to bite on. That's one, because you don't want her to swallow her tongue or poke her teeth through the bottom of her chin or something like that. Number two, you got to juice her up pretty good with some wine coolers. Bruce is nodding feverishly. He knows. And three, lots of lube and a running start. I like to sprinkle a little cocaine on the anus. That'll numb it just a little bit.
Lovely.
Well, I mean, would it make a difference that that we haven't had a vaginal intercourse yet?
Oh, you haven't?
Nah, she's still a virgin.
Wow. That's great. Yeah. God'll love that.
You know, from a medical perspective, whenever I see anuses or rectums that have had that are in the emergency room or other places medically for the reason of sex, there's always a problem there, sticking things up there. And it almost seems to me that God didn't intend for the anus to be the receptacle for
sexual. No, it did not. It did not. That's why he hates the gays so much, God, you know, because they're abusing the anus. And God is such a huge fan of the anus that anybody that abuses the anus, that God then punishes.
I want to back up.
That's where HIV comes in.
I want to back up from that road and go down a different road. Like the guy that had a wine cooler bottle, speaking of wine coolers, in his colon, couldn't imagine it had gotten past his anus, but somehow it had.
Yeah, did you really have that guy in there?
Yeah, you know.
He had a wine cooler.
Poor truck driver, he said he'd been away from home 3 weeks and he picked up some gal at a truck stop.
No.
She insisted on it.
No.
Insisted on it.
Please. Listen, hold on. Quiet down over there. Steve?
Yeah.
Is the reason you're exploring the anal sex because she wants to hang on to her virginity?
Obviously.
Actually, yeah.
I see. Is she a religious person?
Not really.
Why is she so intent on keeping her virginity?
I don't know. She's always, you know, had that idea of saving herself for marriage.
I see.
And I don't know, like, one night we were fooling around in the hot tub. And, I don't know, I just, like, you know, rubbed my finger on her ass.
Right.
And, I don't know, like she's all, ooh.
Yeah. So she may let you do this. And that way you'll get to have some insertion pleasure, and she'll get to maintain her virginity.
Yeah.
How old is she?
She's 16.
Oh.
Listen, why don't you just continue?
I'm moving to Canada.
Yeah, continue playing around with your finger. You'll find that she will never want to have sex if you try the anal route, because some things relax as you proceed with this sexual stimulation, not the anus. It will...
No, mine tightens up.
Unless you have a micro penis, you're going to be in huge trouble. And she's also 16, you're 18. You know, you want to spend some time in jail. I think there's some a law against that.
Yeah. Well, listen, technically, you could get it for just the sodomy.
Yeah, yeah. So,
all right, so forget about it. But listen, if you want to do it just in general, it's like anything that's going to be a potentially painful procedure. You got to take it slow.
Yeah, he's comparing just a gentle caress with his finger. I mean, if you attempt this, I will predict disaster. Okay.
A biblical proportion?
Yes, a biblical proportion.
Cynthia?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
The guy I'm dating is having trouble getting off, and he says it's partially because of the condom and partially because... the pressure of the orgasm is keeping him from reaching it.
Yeah.
And I'm not really sure if that's true or not, but...
Well, what else? What do you suspect?
Well, he won't answer any of my questions, like on past relationships or past sex or anything. And so I'm thinking maybe there's something there. I don't know.
You mean some abuse, or maybe he's gay or bi or confused or something?
I have no clue. All I know is he won't answer my questions about it.
I see.
How long have you gone out with him?
Maybe a couple of weeks. He's not really my boyfriend. I mean, we date and...
I see.
And we have sex.
But it's got to be frustrating to you that he doesn't have an orgasm.
Yeah, I've never really dealt with that before.
No, most guys have it, you know, before the salad comes when you guys are out at dinner, right?
Yeah. I suppose.
And did you give him oral sex?
Yeah, a little bit. I didn't really, like, keep on going because he told me he didn't want it.
Oh, boy.
That way.
Yeah, but he may not have one the other way.
Right.
Why don't you... maybe he can have an orgasm through the oral sex.
Okay.
Maybe that's an angle. You know, the condom does slow certain guys down.
Yeah, he totally loses his heart on with it.
With it. But how do you know? Because you haven't done it without it, right?
You're right. He hasn't reached an orgasm without the condom, right?
But you guys have had sex without the condom.
Yeah.
I see. Mm. All right. Well, listen. This guy doesn't sound like a keeper, Cynthia. What's in it for you? How's he do for you? He give you oral sex?
Yeah. I guess I just want to return the favor.
How is he at doing that?
How is he what?
With the oral sex?
Just fine.
And he does a good job on you?
Yeah.
All right. Well, at least you got that going.
I must be from the Bible Belt or something. You've known this guy less than 2 weeks, and you have amazing knowledge of his sexuality, but you don't know the guy that well. You have no idea where he's been. You've had sex without a condom. You know.
Well, she knows his name is either Tim or Tom. I mean, she's got to narrow it down to that.
That's consistent with the
rest
of the
You do know his first name, don't you, Cynthia?
Yes.
I understand.
Have you had a lot of relationships?
A few, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with a couple.
Do you feel like there's anything wrong with this situation here? I mean, you're really focused on this guy sexually. You've known him less than 2 weeks, and your questions are all about orgasm. I mean, it's not a good track record for going. I mean, just assuming you want to have a long-term good relationship eventually.
Maybe not with this guy. I mean, I'm not really looking for something.
Well, yeah, the truth of it is you set up, you know, whether you call it a track record or where you've been and the way you relate to men, that sets up a pattern. And this kind of pattern, it's not good. It's harmful. It doesn't lead to a good foundation in future relationships. And this is, you know, you're young. It's a good time to sort of do some self evaluation and think about this kind of thing.
All right. Yeah. Well, anyway, hey, listen, Cynthia.
Uh-huh.
I have no idea what's up with this guy. Could be the condom. It's also, once guys get freaked out, they get freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because the fact that he didn't have the orgasm the first time or the second time is going to make the third time even that much harder.
Mm-hmm.
There's a psychological component here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm kind of with Bruce on this. It doesn't sound like you're that much into the guy anyway, so you might as well just move on and someone you like. But if not, just work it out. It'll work out.
You agree with me that you should date him for a year, get married, and then have sex?
Yeah, okay. And then find out it's right. Horrible sex.
Okay.
Brett?
Yeah?
You're 13. What's up?
I'm wondering if I dye my pubes, if they'll fall out.
Your parents' pubes will fall out if you dye your pubes. What color are you going for?
Yellow.
Why?
Blonde.
Why? You're 13.
Are you going to spike them or just dye them? I like the spike thing. I got some patients coming in with spike dye pubic hair.
Who's going to see this pubic hair of yours?
My girlfriend.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How old is she?
14.
Holy mackerel, you're dating an older woman.
Yeah.
You must live in California.
Close.
Yeah.
Are you having sex with her?
Not yet.
How long have you been going out?
A couple weeks.
I see. Does she want you to dye your pubic hair?
I haven't asked her yet.
I see. You're just going to surprise her.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've never done it myself, never seen any reason to do it.
It's risky in the summer, though, because when you go swimming, a lot of the stuff they buy comes off, and, you know, so they jump in the water, and all of a sudden this plume of red dye comes out.
No.
I've seen that happen.
Don't you have to bleach it out first or something?
I don't know.
I listen, don't get any chemicals near your nuts.
Right.
That's my policy. Please, you know, get a hobby.
Is this like a new trend? I mean, I must be out of the main...
No, I think dyeing pubes is more popular about 5 years ago than it is now. But it may be making a comeback, spearheaded by young Brent here.
But it's good that he called, and it's a good question, because as you mentioned, getting chemicals near your organs is not a good idea. I think the hair falling out is the least of the potential.
Yes, here's the bottom line, Brett. We have heard some people with some complaints of some damage that was done. So let's not risk it, especially since it's just a sort of novel thing. It's not like your doctor recommended it or something. Martin?
Yeah?
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, like when I smoke weed the next day, when I wake up in the morning, I can't move.
Okay. How do you get the bong to your mouth later that day?
I don't do bong.
Oh, yeah. How do you get the joint to your mouth? Eventually you can move, though, right?
Yeah.
I see.
After like 15 minutes in bed.
Yeah. That's called no count. That's called being lazy.
No, it's not that.
You actually feel paralyzed.
Yeah, something like that.
And it's only after nights you smoke weed?
Yeah.
Have you ever not smoked weed?
Yeah.
I mean, if you didn't smoke, well, you're stoned now, right?
No.
Really?
No, actually, I'm not.
Okay, so you're not going to smoke weed tonight?
I will.
Oh, you will?
Yeah.
Where are you calling from?
Chicago.
Jeez. It's late over there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's 12 o'clock.
All right. Well, listen, why don't you not smoke weed tonight and then see if you're not paralyzed tomorrow?
I tried that, and I'm not.
So here's a picture. You smoke weed, you can't move in the morning, you feel like crap. You don't smoke weed, you wake up, you feel great, and you can move.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. So let's do some math there. Why don't you smoke the weed earlier in the day? I agree with Bruce. Maybe that'll help.
Yeah, but that's no point.
Why do you need to, I understand you like weed and everything, but, you know, you're 16 years old, you're already feeling paralyzed in the morning. Why don't you back off with the weed a little bit?
I'm not doing a lot.
Well, five nights
a week. No, but you know what? Hold on a second. Let me explain. Let me give my calling all stoners speech. I haven't given in quite some time. Listen, I like weed myself. I've smoked my fair share of weed. As a matter of fact, to be quite honest, I got stoned. I've been stoned 7 days straight.
You look a little stoned.
No, not today. Oh, I didn't get stoned today. I was in Jamaica for a week. That's all you do is smoke pot.
Do you remember?
And I have a vague recollection about seeing it. I was stoned every day in Jamaica, and then we had the man show rap party yesterday, and I got stoned yesterday.
As you waited for me to take me over to Austin.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, right. That's right. But even here's the point there, Martin. I'm, you know,
asshole.
I'm 36 years old, and I got a bunch of jobs, and there's a time and a place. You're 16. This is going to screw you up, and you don't think it will. I can hear it in your voice already. Martin, people that talk to you know you smoke pot and you're 16 goddamn years old. You know what you're going to be like when you're 28? It's going to be a mess. Believe me, look into the weed smoking and back off on it. I'm telling you. I don't have any problem with people starting whatever they want to start at whatever after 18.
Right.
But you really are screwing with yourself and... The people that smoke weed chronically that call this show that are 15, 16, 17 years old, you can hear it in the first syllable that they're heshers.
Right. And this guy's addicted.
Yes, he is.
And there's no way you're going to convince him he's addicted to smoking pot.
No, because pot's not addicting.
Right.
It is. Believe me, it is. It doesn't matter if it has the properties of chemicals that are addicting. The point is you smoke it every day. You're addicted.
People start, for some reason, in their teen years smoking pot. They'll either all of a sudden do it every day, and that continues for 10, 20, 30 years, or else it's not something that they're attracted to. But he's more typical of the person that starts on the...
Yeah, but this, here's what I want to say about pot, because there's so much lore about the myth about it. It's not an inherently evil substance. But it can ruin you, and it will ruin you. A certain percentage of the population will be ruined by it. Do not think it can't ruin you. It will. And there's certain people that it will ruin.
Well, I would bet Drew would disagree with me in terms of it being an inherently evil substance. I find that it is because it's not seen as a drug, and more so today than 10 or 20 years ago.
What do you mean it's not seen as a drug?
Well, the kids I work with, well, you ask them, do you use drugs? No. Do you smoke pot? Yes. They don't.
Well, listen, that doesn't make something inherently evil because it's misinterpreted. Please, how dare you? No, it's not inherently evil.
Well, whatever that means.
It's not seen as a drug is because the man, and I would include you in that group,
very much.
Said that, you know, since the 50s, you'll go insane if you smoke it. And then people smoked it, and then they realized these people were lying, and now they don't listen to anything they say. What they should have said is, you won't go insane, but it may screw, you know, you may have a little difficulty getting a job.
Right. It's a chemical, it's addictive, and it's not a natural thing, it's not an herb that's so... Like my Yohimbi thing here, whatever. It's
yeah. All right. We're gonna take a little break here.
You're insane.
Uh oh. It really has been 7 straight days. That's it. No more pot. Not for another day and a half. We'll be back after this. Yeah. 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 Yeah, it is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Dr. Bruce is filling in for Dr. Drew, doing a wonderful job. He's board certified and all that stuff. Drew's going to be back here in a couple of nights. Tommy Chong, you know, from Cheech and Chong, and, of course, his work in Cheech and Chong, will be in here tomorrow night to talk about whatever the hell he's up to.
Seen his name on billboards, and it sounds like he's back in business.
Tommy?
Yeah.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
What's he doing?
I think they're comedy routines.
Yeah.
Or
Cheech and Chong are getting back together?
No. I think solo.
I see. All right. Seen his name on billboards.
Uh-huh.
Well, you know he's back.
Yeah, back in business.
Nick?
Yeah?
You're 13?
Yeah.
What's up?
I just want to first off say I love the man show.
Thank you.
It's the greatest, dude. I laugh so hard.
Thank you very much.
And speaking of peeing, when I masturbate, I don't pee afterwards, and I'm wondering if there's anything wrong with it.
Nice segue. And you don't pee immediately afterwards?
Yeah, well, I don't pee like within like that hour.
I see.
And I orgasm like, and I calm and everything, and it's
I see. Hold on right there. 13, wow. Mm-hmm. I ahead of the game. All right, what about that, Bruce? Is that a problem?
No, nothing.
But most guys do.
It's normal not to urinate for a period of time. An hour, probably the outer limits of normal, but...
Yeah, but what could it mean, potentially?
No idea.
No. Okay. All right, well, you're being honest. He doesn't need to see a doctor, does he?
No.
Well,
sometimes 13 is probably as you know his organs are still maturing. He's I don't know how many times he masturbates a day. Some of your listeners seem to have a proclivity for over-masturbation. So
mm-hmm.
And no, it doesn't sound like he has any other.
Fine.
Yeah.
Good, Curtis.
Okay.
You're 16.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, when my girlfriend gave me a blowjob, like she doesn't have any sores in her mouth, but she has braces.
Uh huh.
And now, like, after she was finished, now I have, like, sores on my penis.
I see. From the braces.
Well, I don't know. That's what I want to know, if that could work, if that could happen.
Are you hiding a closet, or?
No.
Oh, okay. Sound a little bit stressed, or?
You're supposed to be asleep or something, Curtis?
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, I see. How old is your girlfriend?
She's 11.
Shut up. No, she's, 16 or so.
16?
Yeah.
Ooh. Oral sex from someone's braces. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She doesn't have any sores in her mouth. Does she have much prior sexual experience?
I don't really know. I didn't choose to ask her.
Yeah, good. Very smart of you, Curtis. It's an important lesson to learn. More mystery, less history. That's what I say.
Mm.
Curtis, so what are these things on your penis, though? Do they look like friction burns, or do they look like herpes?
I don't really know what herpes looks like, but, I don't know, they're kind of like small bumps.
Until the advent of holographic imaging of genitalia, we will not be able to diagnose you over the radio.
Yes. God willing, though, our children one day, our grandchildren, will be able to present
their
genitalia in a 3D hologram over the air. All right, but listen, Curtis, her scraping on you with her braces wouldn't cause a series of bumps, would it?
I don't think so. I didn't think she scraped them.
Yeah, well, listen, you're getting a BJ. You could have a rusty sprinkler key through your side. You wouldn't feel it, especially at 16. I was actually sitting on a fire when I was first... I hopped up on the stove. I was in the kitchen. I was actually sitting on an open burner for 25 minutes. Had felt nothing.
Yeah, that was Einstein's analogy for the theory of relativity.
It was
sitting on a burner.
I was sitting on a flapjack skillet. You know, the one in the middle of the old stove, and it was up on full. Felt nothing.
You did that on purpose, though, just to see if you could invent a new form of anesthesia.
That's right. All right, so listen. Listen, Curtis, if you have bumps on your penis, get it checked out.
You're
could be the braces, could
right.
be something else.
Yeah, that's the serious answer is when you have oral sex, as Adam was saying, the more whatever mystery or whatever your little saying was, you don't know where this mouth has been. And was it yesterday somebody was saying, oh, you can't get...
Yeah.
Venereal infections from oral sex, we certainly can. I've seen oral gonorrhea, you can have herpes, you can have a myriad of infections. You have to get it looked at. A doctor has to visualize your penis.
Mike?
Yes.
You're 14. What's up?
Well, my
Mike, turn your radio down, you moron.
I just want to start out by saying Grand Yell Rock.
Thank you. Now turn your radio down.
It's down.
Okay.
I was just saying. I was just saying that my friend Tom, he was supposed to bring over a couple girls.
Sure.
I told him that I was a virgin when I ain't.
You told the girls you were a virgin?
No, I told Carl.
I see.
You know, he told
a virgin.
He wasn't.
Yes. Sorry about that.
Yeah. Oh, so you told Tom you weren't a virgin?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, did he bring over a couple of the girls?
No, he's supposed to do it tomorrow night.
I see. Where's he going to get these girls? The morgue?
The corner.
I think the corn.
Yeah. This reminds me of a Leave It to Beaver episode, doesn't it? Where you tell...
Yeah. So how old is your friend Tom?
I think he's like
35. Oh! You're 14. You got a friend who's 35?
Yeah.
Is he involved with the Catholic Big Brother organization?
Yeah.
Did you bring over a movie?
Yeah. Game? I listen. Wait. Shut up, you idiot. Oh, listen.
Bogus.
Who cares? Whenever they use names, by the way.
Yeah. Bad sign.
Yeah, they go, I think my best friend, Dirk Johnson, is gay because he's always fagging off. And, you know, I worry about Dirk Johnson, my friend.
Run.
That's right. Mike?
Yeah.
You're also 14, and you're also named Mike.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is a real Mike.
You're starting to like your best friend?
Yeah.
your male best friend?
No.
Female?
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And how old is she?
She's 14, too.
I see. And what's the problem?
Well, we went to a dance about 2 weeks ago, and I went up and, asked her to dance and stuff because I was beginning to like her and stuff.
Yeah.
And she said, yeah. And I was like, okay. And we had a good time. And then the next day I was about to, ask her out and stuff. And she went back to, being my best friend and stuff. You know, you can tell the difference between when a girl likes you and when a girl likes you. And I just felt pretty stupid.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
Now I want to know how to ask her out.
Well, how did you become good friends with her in the first place?
I don't know.
You must have liked her.
Yeah.
You always liked her.
Yeah, basically.
Right. And she never really felt that way about you.
Right.
Right. And so you made any kind of relationship you could make. I mean, you really should have just asked her out at the beginning, but you had the feeling she wasn't going to be receptive to that, so you worked your way in by being friends with her.
Right.
So you'd bide your time and ask her out later, and that's what you're planning on doing now. This is a plan that almost every 14, 15-year-old guy attempts to execute, and it never works. It just doesn't work.
So
I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings or bad news, Mike, but it never works. How long have you been friends with her?
I don't know, probably about 3 years.
Ooh.
What do you do as friends?
I don't know, we just hang out.
Oral sex.
No, listen. Have the best of both worlds. Continue to do things as friends. I mean, the important thing is that you spend time with her. Who cares if do you have to be able to identify her?
No, listen. He likes her. He has a crush on her.
Right.
He wants to be her boyfriend. He doesn't. I mean, sure, he wants to spend time with her, but he wants to have a relationship with her. That's a ridiculous fairy tale type answer you're giving the lad. Mike, you listen to me, not the mean Dr. Bruce. He knows nothing over there.
I'll finish my answer later.
Oh, please, yeah, next week when you're at home. Mike, ask her out, okay?
Okay.
And here's the deal. And here's what you need to listen to, because as you know, I'm a genius, right?
Yeah.
I understand everything about everyone. I'm a Nostradamus behind the microphone. So here's the deal, Mike. You ask her out on a date, okay?
Okay.
Now, here's what you need to promise me. If she says, you know, I really like you, and I really think you're cute, and I'm attracted to you, and I think you're wonderful, but I can't because I don't want to ruin our friendship, or I'd love to, but my grandparents are coming in town. If she gives you any excuse, any reason why she can't go out on that date with you, no matter how great it is or how complimentary it is, that's it. she don't want to go on a date with you. It's not going to hurt to ask, but do not keep pining away for her when she says, I think you're cute, I think you're wonderful, it's just we're too good of friends. Don't walk away thinking she thinks you're cute. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know.
She doesn't think you're cute. She's being nice. And you've got to hear that. So ask her out, and if she says no, do not ask her out anymore.
What do you guys do as friends? What kind of stuff?
I don't know.
Just go to the, where you skateboard, go to the mall?
No, who cares? Just ask her out.
Nah.
You know what I mean? How much of that did you do, Bruce? I'm guessing you do a fair amount of it now. But, you know, when you're a young teenage boy, I mean, I must have asked or at least pined away for the same girl that had virtually no interest in me from the word go, and I couldn't get it or accept it or hear it or understand it, or it didn't seem to be. The fact that she didn't like me was not really a factor.
Right.
And it is a huge factor.
It is.
And as you get older, you realize, hey, you ask somebody out and they don't want to go. They don't want to go.
Yeah.
Move
I was
on.
Picking up on the next day, it sounded like she wasn't that excited about being his boyfriend. So
no, she's not going to go out with the guy. She's not interested. And listen here, fellas, and I'll tell you this, not from personal experience, but I have friends who women find attractive. And here's the deal. I know men are supposed to be asking women out and be the aggressors, and women are coy, so on and so forth. When a woman likes you, she will let you know. Believe me, she'll let you know.
And teenage girls are a little ahead of the guys anyway.
They will let you know. You will know. I'm not saying they're going to pull their pants down and chase you down the school hall, but they will let you know. Believe me, they'll let you know.
If a guy can learn to take a hint, it'll be a huge benefit. Huge advantage.
They will let you know if they like you, and they will let you know if they don't like you.
But they ain't gonna, the guys ain't going to listen. Like you said, when you're...
Nope, they will not listen. Leon?
Yeah.
You're 20.
Balls are tingling, Adam.
Good time.
All his fans balls tingle. That's really
amazing. Yeah, that's the best way to start off the conversation.
Well, hold on a second. Leon, we're running late for break here. Your girlfriend has a vaginal discharge, right?
Yeah, and a lovely scent to go with it.
Fantastic.
You are the typical Adam Carolla fan, I think.
Is it fresh cut pine?
It's more just the antiseptic scent. There's no good lemon fresh.
All right, hold on a second. We're going to have to take ourselves a little break. We'll get to the bottom of Leon's girlfriend's vagina after this. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce over there. He's board certified, so don't you worry your pretty little minds about that. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tommy Chong will be in here tomorrow night, then Papa Roach, and then on Thursday night, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, who had on the TV show a few months back, and we're in here. Good guys, and we'll talk to them as a little belch. Now, our last caller seemed to have dropped off. Is he not?
Balls itching. Ball tingling.
That's right.
Something else itching.
Gone, right?
Yeah.
Fine. We're moving on. We can't live in the past. Jen?
Yeah, hey.
Hey, you're 22. What's up?
Well, I was calling to ask you what you thought about whether or not you fantasize about women when you're having sex with men. If that was a normal thing because they're more foreign to, or if that's...
You're gay.
Yeah.
You're asking about if Adam does, when he's having sex with men, fantasize about women?
Once in a while, I'll think about my mother when I'm having sex with men. Is that what you're asking, Jen?
No,
I'm confused then.
No,
I just got done whacking off to my mom. Oh, Anderson, where did you get that place for? You must have some guy come in here and do impersonations on me. Listen, for women, all bets are off sexually. Here's the bottom line, and I don't know why you or anybody examines these fantasies or these thoughts or dreams too closely. You're with a guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You like the guy. Have you ever been with a woman?
Yeah.
Oh, you have?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, now we're getting
all bets are off.
Do you have intentions of being with a woman again?
Possibly, if that relationship that I'm in right now ended, but I didn't plan on it ending anytime soon.
I don't exactly... you're saying you may be with a woman at some point.
Yeah, I haven't ruled it out.
Are you? So you're bisexual?
I would say I think I may be, but I'm wondering if I know that people go through curiosity stages and then grow out of it. So I don't know if I could say that I am forever.
Well, in the teenage years, there are many feelings that are not really clear cut. Many homophobic feelings on the part of younger teenagers.
Did you get molested?
I had been when I was younger. But
sure. By a man, certainly. But listen, that's why you're all screwed up. You ever get any help for that?
Yeah, I do.
You did?
Yeah, and I still do.
Okay, good.
What's your therapist? Have you talked to your therapist about?
She's having sex with him.
No. No, I'm not.
I see.
I'm still talking about it. I've gone in and out of it. I haven't found a good therapist, but I've bonded with it all.
I wouldn't worry about the dreams, but really, you know, Adam hit on a very good point there. If you've had any molestation, and things like this are common, but the important thing is to really make a point of finding a therapist you're comfortable with and follow through on it, and this type of thing will probably go away.
Yeah, probably. I'm sure of it. Yeah, I'm sorry, I got my video camera in here. Gina.
Yes?
You're 15, what's up?
Okay, I think I'm going to say you're my god, Adam.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah, well, get in line. I'm a lot of people's gods.
Why?
Yeah.
Have you seen his face? I mean, have you seen him?
Yeah, I've seen him.
Yeah.
Did that change your feelings? Okay, well, I won't even...
Yeah, I won't make any attempt. I've been described as ruggedly handsome with a matinee idol type look.
There's a Washington Post guy that described that way.
Oh, yeah.
The gay guy.
Oh, yeah, Tom Shales?
Yeah, he likes you, I heard.
He called me a Neanderthal. That's right. Yeah, what's up there, Gina?
This one guy, he kissed me.
Uh-huh.
I think he had a sore in his mouth, and I want to know if I could get it.
It's possible. Do you have it? How long ago did you kiss him?
A week ago.
Do you have any sores yet?
Mm-mm.
Probably lucky.
Yeah, you're fine, I'm sure.
And then I also have another question.
Mm-hmm.
How, like, do you know if you're, like, on depression or something?
How do you know if you're depressed?
I've always felt excited and
killing
myself.
Yeah, just assume. You do what I do. Assume you're miserable at all times. Then if you find out you're not miserable, well, then you're way ahead of the game.
That's a great...
Isn't that a great way to approach life?
You know, especially feeling like you don't want to be alive, feeling like you want to hurt yourself, that's really serious and a reason to go see a therapist. A lot of people just feel sad a lot of the time, but when it starts getting to the point where you're not feeling like eating, or your sleep is interrupted, you can't get to sleep, you're tired all the time, just things that are not normal for you. Those are signs that the depression is getting more serious, and you need to see somebody.
Yeah, and all 15-year-olds go through something, but you may be going through more than most.
And wanting to hurt yourself, and probably there's some family issues there. I don't know if we're going to ask Gina.
No, listen, we can't save her. Well, this is an entertainment show, Bruce. Please stop trying to help people.
He is a world-class dick.
Yes, that's true, talking about Dr. Bruce. Carol?
Hi.
You're 17, what's up?
Yeah, I've been going out with my boyfriend for a year and 6 months almost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, he wants me to have special intercourse with him.
I see.
Like, I'm not, like, really sexually attracted to him.
I see. Why have you been going out with him for so long?
Because I care about him and I love him, you know, but it's just, I'm not really, like, attracted to him.
I see. Well, it's time to break up with him, Carol. You're not doing him any favors.
But, Carol, we applaud your boundaries. The fact that you're going out with somebody and you're not feeling obligated to have sex, you're not sexually active with him, you're able to say no.
Well, she has boundaries because she's not attracted to him. If she thought the guy was good-looking, she would have been on him the first date.
Not necessarily.
Listen, everyone has boundaries with ugly people.
No problem with that.
It's not ugly. It's not that. It's just I don't really find myself attracted to him, like, sexually other than that, you know. I mean, he's good-looking because it's like a weird problem. With my ex-boyfriend, I was attracted to him both sexually and physically, but not with him.
Right. Okay. Break up. So you're not into him. It's been going on too long. It's all right. It happens. You can do it.
Is he pressuring you for sex?
No, he's not. It's just the way that he tells me, so like, yeah, I'm waiting. I'm all like, well, you know, I can't pressure myself either, but it's just...
All right, listen, Carol, break up. It's been a year and a half. You're not into him. Okay?
If he's not pressuring you for sex, you enjoy his company.
Not into the guy. She's not into him.
So what's the problem with spending time with somebody you enjoy?
Hey, what about him? You want to be?
He said he's not pressuring her for sex.
You want to be with someone who's not into you?
Me?
I really... You got no choice. Ain't nobody into you. Your wife should get an Academy Award. All right, we'll take ourselves a little break, and then we'll be back for more of the Fabulous Show. And the Dr. Drew boogie and or shuffle after this. It is Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew. He's board certified, kiddies. Don't worry about it. He can do whatever Drew can do, just not quite as well. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Tommy Chong will be in here tomorrow night. Papa Roach will be in here on Wednesday. And then the Long Beach Dub All Stars will be in here Thursday night. Now, as I said at the top of the show, because of my partner's absence, Dr. Drew, he's chasing money across the state, as he normally does this time of year, I think we should pay a little homage to him by playing the Dr. Drew. Well, let's hear the shuffle or boogie, Anderson, and then later on we maybe we'll hear the boogie. All right?
Pee on this stick. This makes me sick. Pee on this stick. Makes me sick.
I find you stealing my underwear again. Here's what's gonna happen.
Asshole.
Stuff like this. Stuff like this. Stuff like this.
Makes me sick.
You're fat.
Asshole.
You're fat.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Hard.
You're overweight. I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
I want to be dominated.
You're gay.
When I was 19, I ate about 4 boiled peyote buttons and stayed up all night but felt no effect. It's called intimacy.
Can I say that?
This is not acceptable.
Can I say that?
You're fat.
Not acceptable. Pee on this stick. Not acceptable. Boiled peyote buttons. Not acceptable.
You're overweight.
Not acceptable.
Can I say that? Jesus Christ-like.
Jesus Christ-like. Jesus Christ. Anderson, what else you got? Any more good drops over there?
Yes, Your Royal Highness.
Right,
get your moist ass down.
In fairness, Drew was drunk that night, I remember.
Unacceptable.
Look who you're talking to.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I guess we've gotten a share of arguments over the years. I
can't imagine why. He's so reasonable and easy to get along with.
Oh, man. He is so combative, that Dr. Drew.
You are my teacher.
There we go. Hmm. Andrea?
Yeah.
You're 15. What's up?
Yeah, I'm kind of going out with this guy. He's 18. He thinks I'm like 17, and I just want to figure out how to tell him that I'm really 15.
Yeah, why does he think you're 17?
Because I told him.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. And where'd you meet him?
Like in Lake Tahoe.
I see. And does he live around you?
Yeah, well, he lives in Lake Tahoe, and I talk to him every night on the phone. It's like, we're like, we have a good thing going. I didn't want to ruin it by like telling him that, but...
Where do you live?
Placerville.
Oh, Placerville?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Up there by Sacramento?
Yeah.
Nice country.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Yeah.
You have any friends your age?
Yeah.
How far is that from Tahoe? A couple hours?
No, about an hour. Maybe less.
Close.
I don't know how you drive.
I see.
Too close for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, what about folks your own age out there in the beautiful, the bustling metropolis of Placerville?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I just met him, and he's really great.
Placerville, that's next to Drywallburg, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. No.
It's not near Stuccoville?
She is saying Placerville.
Plaster.
I call it Placerville.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people call it that all the time. Yeah.
Thank you. All right, so listen, you're probably going to have to end this one because you're 15 and he's 18 and you guys are on a little different calendar sexually.
Yeah.
Or at least you should be.
Yeah, the other thing is you said you got a good thing. Well, a good thing in a relationship Not that everybody practices it, but honesty is really important. And the longer you go without telling them, you know, that's a dishonesty that's in there. And, you know, when he finds out, he's not going to trust you because you've, you know.
Yeah.
What's he do over in Lake Tahoe?
He works out in the wilderness.
I see. He's a trapper?
No. He works for CCC. California Conservation Corps.
Uh-oh. Well, let me tell you what I hear when I hear CCC. Criminal. That's a convict.
No.
Yes. All those people that get involved with the California Conservation, whatever. Let me tell you what that is. And stop me if I'm wrong here, Bruce, but it's a combination of the military meets the prison system, isn't it?
It can be.
I mean, don't they send the troublemakers to those places?
No, that's work project.
Yeah, all right. What's he do with the CCC?
He works in, like, you know, out in the woods, like, preserving
trees. Okay. Listen, he's eventually going to be working out with the trees, with the prisoners, and be a prisoner if he doesn't find out you're 15.
Yeah.
Have you had sex with him yet?
No.
Huh?
No.
Huh? Yes, you have. Of course you have.
Adam is all-knowing, all-seeing, Nostradamus of the airwaves.
Yes, how dare
you. Do not lie.
How dare you attempt to pull the wool over the omnipotent one's eyes.
You remind me more of the Wizard of Oz.
Thank you.
Blowing a lot of smoke. Listen, what do you think is going to happen when he finds out you're 15?
I think he'll be kind of mad.
But... Right. And does he have a right to be mad?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so the best thing you could do is to tell him right away. And, you know, what happens, happens. That's the way life is. And you're really taking a lot of risks, and you're taking a risk for somebody else. You ever see those? I saw that.
Yeah.
Another billboard.
Right.
Saying if you didn't, you know, ignorance of their age isn't an excuse for statutory rape.
That means you're in a bad neighborhood, by the way.
You what
see,
do you mean?
Too many billboards for statutory rape and Colt 45.
You ever been to San Bernardino?
It means you're bad.
That's where I live.
Bad neighborhood, yeah. Yes. And
unlike a celebrity like yourself.
PSAs on, you know, meth labs are running late.
Where you live in the Hollywood Hills, the 15-year-olds are all in the houses there.
Okay, Bruce. They really, again, remember I had that little conversation about you attempting to be entertaining at the top of the show?
Well, don't accuse me of going into bad neighborhoods.
Okay. Well, you're not going into them. You live in one. That's all.
All right, here's your buddy.
Leon?
Yes.
You're 20.
Exactly, the balls.
Yeah, tingly balls. What happened to you?
You know what? I feared them, like, leaving me. Actually, the phone died.
Oh, I see. Ran out of battery?
Ran out of battery. Went to change it over.
Bad times.
Yeah, very unfortunate.
All right. So, what is your question?
My question is, A, am I going to die? And,
yes.
Okay, yeah, that's what I figured.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the girlfriend thing, I'm just curious, is it a yeast infection, most likely, or is there something seriously wrong going down?
She has a white discharge.
It's not very white, kind of clear, with a little bit of white.
I see. And
you asked about the odor out of it?
She doesn't, there's an odor to it.
There's like a lemon fresh odor.
And we established it was not lemon or fresh cut pine.
Yes.
And isn't she interested in checking this out?
Yes, very. This is very recently.
I see.
So.
All right. Well, you listen, let's not play armchair gynecologist as much as I enjoy it. I think what you should do is let her go to the gynecologist, and then she'll come back with an answer.
What about myself?
You're fine.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
Just the tingly hypochondriac thing going on?
Yeah, I don't, Bruce, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I've not heard of any venereal diseases that involve tingly balls as a sensation or as a symptom of the venereal disease.
Well, a herpes virus, viral disorders can cause, before you actually see a rash, you can get tingling, itching, burning, pain.
Right.
But that's not a classic sign. The whole thing is, just as you don't know what she has, other than, you know, she has a discharge, he doesn't know. And the best way to start this off is for her to go get a pelvic exam, get cultures.
There you go.
And hopefully he doesn't have a problem.
Andrew.
Yeah.
You're 16. What's up?
Hey, I wanted to know, like, I smoked weed probably like 7 days ago, and I probably do it 3 times a month. And I had a drug test 3 days ago, and I wanted to know, is it going to show up on the drug test? And if it does, like, how many days can you go until it won't show up?
Where are you trying to get a job? Walmart?
No, I'm trying to get a job, actually, at, like, Robinson's, like a department store.
Oh, really? Yeah. He's broadcasting too now, huh?
Yeah. What would you say he sounds like? Three times a month? Three times?
Yeah, well, listen, here's what I found out from our listeners who say they smoke twice a week. They think there's only 3 days in a week. So the smokers that say they smoke three times a month probably only think there's 8 or 9 days in a month.
Mm-hmm.
Is that true, Andrew?
Yeah, you're always right, Ant.
Thank you. So really, you really smoke more like a couple times a week, right?
Like 3 times a week.
No, actually, seriously, 2 times a month.
3 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you smoke a kilo 3 times a month, right?
No,
I see.
Like an eighth.
Okay. You go through an eighth a month.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
In three sittings.
I don't buy it. Yeah, I don't either. Let me tell you, Andrew, I know I don't have to tell you. An eighth takes a little bit of work to get through. I mean, an eighth, hold on a second, let me figure this out. I'd like to get a definitive answer to this, but I can't. But an eighth of weed is probably going to garner you about, I'd say about 12 joints.
10, 12, right.
10, 12 joints. Wouldn't you say, Bruce? How do you know so much?
I'm a drug doctor.
Oh, let me tell you the kind of joints they roll in Jamaica. Holy Christ.
Oh,
they have 6 bags of that stuff out there. My God. No wonder
they don't fool around.
Done over there.
They have quality control there.
The point is an eighth will roll you about, get you about 10 joints. And, hey, if you smoke a joint in a day, you're smoking. I mean, that's, I can be high all day off one joint, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
So the point is if you're smoking an eighth a month, you should be smoking more like 10 times a month than 3 times a month.
And the less frequently you smoke, the less it's going to take. So this guy's got some inconsistencies.
Yes. Andrew?
Yeah.
Hey, eighth a month means those 3 days, you must just toke out the entire day, right?
Well, I got to smoke like 1 gram each day, 3 grams in a day.
All right. I still can't figure out why only 3 days out of the month you have a smoke out. You know what I'm saying? Seems like someone who smoked that infrequently would just smoke a little bit, get high, and all right, so we don't believe you necessarily. But be that as it may.
Your job depends on our advice. So.
The pot stays in your system for quite some time. Drew has never given me a good answer on this one. How long has it been since you smoked last?
About 7 days.
Okay. When do you get the test?
I got it 3 days ago, so I don't know when I'm going to get it now.
How much did you smoke? I mean...
Well, like, I smoked 1 gram.
Okay.
Mm.
And there's 3 grams and an eighth ounce, right?
Yeah.
Mm. Okay. What is it, 24 grams in an ounce? Is that how it goes?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Let me tell you, the whole metric thing, so far that's been the only practical application for it as far as Americans go. Well, Coke, you know, 8 balls and grams and quarter grams and ounces and, I mean, not ounces, but, you know, kilos. I mean, the whole metric thing is basically the only practical application it has is toward drug measurement.
And
I'll tell you something. When I'm in charge, we will convert drugs over to standard. We will no longer use the metric system when it comes to drugs.
It gets complex, but no matter how much of a drug-induced stupor my patient's in when I interview them, they cannot remember their parents or where they grew up, but like that, they can calculate dosages.
Oh, listen, I remember. I'm going to sue the L.A. Unified School System for brainwashing me in 1977, 1978, here comes the metric system. I mean, I don't remember anything from the sixth grade, but I'll tell you the one thing I remember is Mrs. Parker sitting me down and saying, listen, there are going to be two types of people in the future. They're going to be the people who know the metric system, and then there'll be the rest of the people. Those will be the unemployed. You understand? Because we are switching over to metric, and you will have to learn. This is if it was some new language that you're going to have to learn in order to be employed. I'm waiting. Where is it? I have not seen anything except for as it pertains to drugs. So, again, another good reason not to listen to your teachers, everyone. And I'm sure, Bruce, you're a couple years older than me, but I'm sure you were probably in high school or something when the metric system came about, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where were you in 1977, 78?
I don't want to say.
Where were you? Seriously, were you in high school?
I was in medical school.
Really? Yeah. Jeez, you're old. Yeah, it's only because of your boyish charm and the fact that you eat Rice Krispie treats and Jolt that people assume
Jolt.
You're younger, right? Medical school in 77? Oh, Jesus, I'd love to see a picture of that hat.
It's a little, I look the same. Wait a second.
Were they trying to give you the metric system in, well, you had to learn that.
The metric system in the late 60s, geez.
Oh, they were?
Yeah. They had it for people to calculate the marijuana doses.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me tell you guys about the metric system for just one second. It actually makes, it does make a certain degree of sense. It's just not going to work. I mean, like, when I used to do carpenter, I used to work at a metric European cabinet shop. And, you know, if you got a 10-millimeter drill bit and it's a little bit too small, then you just move up to the 11.
Right.
When you're dealing with standard, it's like you have the 1364 drill bit and it's too small. So what do you go for? Do you go for the 7/16 or do you go for the 12/32? You do the math. You'll never figure it out. The millimeter system is a lot better, but then it gets in the rest of the thing, and I don't know. All right. That just fizzled out. Mike?
Yeah?
You're 15. What's up?
Actually, I'm 14.
I understand. What's going on?
Well, me and my girlfriend like to have sex every once in a while.
Yeah, sure.
And when we do, I like to finger her sometimes, and when I do...
Who says chivalry's dead, by the way? Yes, what's that, Mike?
When I finger her, white crap comes out of her vagina.
That's her nougaty center.
Yeah.
Okay. And Mike's not amused, by the way. But listen, when you're 14 and you're finger banging girls and having sex with them, I guess. Are you having intercourse with her?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I see. How old is she?
She's 16.
Oh Jesus! Are you using any kind of birth control?
Not me.
Right, I understand. You're not on the pill currently?
Not me.
You don't have an IUD in your ass?
Uh-uh.
No, I see. But she's on something?
Not that I know of.
Oh, I see. Okay, so not you or not her, but somebody's using it, God willing, right?
Hopefully.
I see, okay. Hey, Mike?
Yeah?
You know, you're liable to get her pregnant, right?
Yeah.
You understand that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you understand that could be something that could profoundly affect your life in a negative way?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
All those dreams you had about being a diesel mechanic?
Uh-huh.
They'd all be put on hold if you had a child now. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you should not get her pregnant, Mike. You understand?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike.
Yeah?
Are you listening to me, you old jackass?
Uh-huh.
Okay, because I don't like all this. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Hey. Don't get her pregnant.
Where's your mom and dad? Let's hear a mom and dad history.
All right. Where is your mom and dad?
My mom is coming home from work, and my dad's at work.
I see.
When are you off with your girlfriend? Maybe we can figure out
they're not here.
Incarcerate you.
They both work the graveyard?
Sometimes.
What do they do?
My mom works at a state hospital, and my dad works at a prison.
Oh, boy. All right. You're going to end up in one of those two places if you get a pregnancy.
So where's your girlfriend's parents? We got to lock one of you guys up.
Oh,
I don't think there's any hope in these kids.
We're not going to do anything. Listen, Mike, tell your girlfriend she needs to go to Planned Parenthood and get herself an exam. Make sure she doesn't have some sort of infection or something, okay?
All right.
Meanwhile, you tell her to pick up some condoms while she's over there, or she needs to get on birth control. Get her to Planned Parenthood and just tell her to talk about what she's doing and see if you can't get some of this stuff fixed up. You have to get on some kind of birth control.
Well, she's got white, and the discharge could be an infection, but the chances of this guy listening are probably...
Just tell your girlfriend she needs to go to Planned Parenthood, all right? And you can look it up in the phone book. That's two P's. And, Jesus Christ, could you imagine being, when you're 14, Bruce, nailing a 16-year-old? Your head would be spinning like a dreidel.
Yeah, my father would spin my head like a dreidel.
Oh, listen, I can only imagine you at the 14, all Adam's apple. You must have been one big nose in Adam's apple.
Yeah, pretty much.
No way were you getting laid in high school.
Oh,
no way.
No way is right.
I didn't get laid in high school, and I'm a cool guy.
Oh, yeah, right. Well, you and I...
Hey, how you doing? Look at your hair.
Yeah, there, Rodney.
Oh, man, that hair of yours. Where'd you go to medical school?
I had... How many times are there? Loma Linda.
Loma Linda. Yeah. That's not certified, is it? Are they accredited?
I was back doing an elective at NYU in medical school, and I said Loma Linda. They go, oh, is that in southern Mexico or northern Mexico? Yeah, somebody certified him out there.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
But,
so,
you know,
barely any formal education is what you're saying.
Yeah. No, medical schools, they all have to be in the same, they're all in the same category of high quality.
Sure they are.
Yeah. The thing is, can you imagine, where is this kid's parents and where are their heads?
They're working the graveyard,
you
shit.
Too many talk on this kid, you know he's up to no good.
Of course.
Working the graveyard, leaving him home alone and the 16-year-old's parents.
Listen, I'm not going to talk, you're not going to talk a 14-year-old out of Poontang. But
oh no!
Just make sure she goes to Planned Parenthood. Hopefully they'll get her on the pill or something.
Dream on.
Doug?
Yeah.
Well, listen, Bruce, I know you're a Bible thumper. Are you against Planned Parenthood?
No. I said,
right.
I don't think the kid's...
I know.
He's just
all
not
right.
Showing any yet.
Good. I'm moving to Canada. You can all rot here. Doug, you're 16. What's up?
Yeah, like, every time I go to, like, get in a relationship with a girl, right, I always end up, like, becoming a friend. It sucks. Like, I can't go out with any girl because, like, she sees me as, oh, you know, you're going to listen to my problems and everything. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did you hear the last caller? The 14-year-old that's having sex with the 16-year-old?
Yeah.
Do you want to be like him?
Well,
I'd like to get laid like him.
The one time I had sex, it was with an 18-year-old girl.
I see. All right. Doug, you're one of those nice guys, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a saver.
Exactly.
Yeah. Bruce knows all about it. Listen, we're not going to change you by having one conversation with you. I got to be honest with
Thank
you.
Thank God.
But I can impart a little bit of knowledge to you. I used to be one of these friendly guys, too. Listen, here's the deal. When you meet a woman who you're attracted to from now on, attempt to go out with her. Do not attempt to get to know her. Attempt to go out with her. Because if you attempt to get to know her, you'll be friends. 3 months will pass in the blink of an eye, and you two will be the best of buddies.
Yep.
Don't ever establish that relationship with them in the first place if you're interested in going out with them. You must ask them out immediately. If they do not want to go out with you, that is all right. Then you can go out with somebody else, or you can become friends with them later on. But you must ask women out immediately. And, Doug, yep. I know you're scared S-less of it. But women expect to be asked out, and they don't have a problem with it. They really don't. And they're not going to look at you in a negative way because you did, even if they don't want to go out with you. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got to understand this, fellas. Women appreciate being asked out for the most part.
Mm-hmm.
Talk to any woman who hasn't been asked out in a while, and she'll tell you she wishes she was asked out. All right? Number two, they will turn you down. It happens to the best of us. But you must do it anyway.
Right.
That's right.
This one?
What do you want?
I want to talk to Doug.
No. We got to take a break.
Ugh.
What do you want to talk to Doug?
I was
going to
tell him the skills he's developing now are the greatest skills for getting where he wants
right.
to go to
him. Right. Those jack-off skills? Yeah,
no.
Very
being
important.
Friends. Communication.
Oh, how
that's
dare
what
you.
That's what really turns women on.
Oh,
it's true.
That's a damn line, you know. Oh, the human Adam's apple speaks, everybody. Jesus Christ. Bruce giving you tips on dating, for Christ's sake. Seriously.
Doug, you're okay, Doug.
Did you have a girlfriend when you were in college? No way.
No? Wait. They like...
All right, listen, we got to take a break. You're not like Drew. Drew's a very passionate man, you know?
Oh, you like that, huh?
Yeah, he likes the ladies. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Kitties, Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Bruce. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Bruce filled in for Dr. Drew. Tommy Chong of Cheats and Chong will be in here tomorrow night, and we'll hop back on the phone. Speak to Chuck. Chuck's 26. Chuck.
Hi. Yeah. How you doing, Adam? Love your show, the Man Show, and nice to hear from you, Dr. Bruce. I have a
Thank
problem.
You.
My wife and I have been married for a couple of years, and my problem is occasionally we go out to dinner, a movie, you know, we'll go out to a nice dinner, sit down at a restaurant. I'll have, anywhere between 1 to 3 beers with dinner. We'll go home, have sex, and after that,
I'll have a bad need to urinate right after work, and it's always really bad. It burns really bad. So we can go to a party, I'll get bombed, come home, have sex all night long. That's not bothering me. I have no idea what the problem is, and it's always bothered me.
All right. So let me get this straight. You have 2-3 beers, you have sex, it burns.
Yes.
You have 8-10 beers, you have sex, it doesn't burn.
Exactly.
All right. I have no idea what that could be. What could that be?
Well, people complain of burning sometimes when they get dehydrated, the urine gets very concentrated. That can result in burning, but that doesn't go along with this history of having lots of beers or lots of alcohol.
I see. So you get dehydrated and you're peeing out a higher concentration of acid or
solutes, whatever's
in the urine other than water.
It's uncomfortable.
Right.
Now, the fact, it doesn't sound like he has a sexually transmitted disease. Now, the other thing is when you get bombed, you may not be aware of the sensation at that point.
Oh, that is that's an interesting point. Chuck?
I've tried it several ways, and I've even ate different foods.
But Chuck,
it's been going on since I was 20, and I've done different variations, and the only constant I can find is, 2-3 beers, have sex, it burns.
Yeah, but what Bruce is saying is when you've drunk a 12-pack and you're loaded, you're not feeling much pain. You see what I'm saying?
Even 6 beers, when I'm not really loaded, I just maybe got a sleepy buzz, it still doesn't bother me. Anything over 3 beers, I really lose it. And, I don't get drunk off anything over 3 beers, but 3 beers and over 3 beers and it doesn't bother me.
But the amount,
I have no idea.
Your variables are the amount of alcohol that you take in, the effect on the concentration.
Does he really need to go to a urologist for this? Hey, listen, that's you. Hey, Bruce, there's a certain amount of things out there are just sort of you.
Right.
Aren't they? And can we chalk it up to that's your metabolism or that's the way your physiology works out?
Right. The thing is, to give advice, when you have so many people listening for advice, if you have burning, you really need to get your analysis, get it checked out. But concentrated urine can also cause that sensation.
Courtney?
Yeah?
You're 16. What's up?
I've been on lithium for 4 months, and I've started to do coke within the last 2 months, and now I'm starting to hear voices, and I'm wondering if that's from the reaction with the lithium or if I'm just becoming more crazy.
How much coke are you doing?
Fairly heavy, I guess you could say.
Well, how much?
I'd say about 5 lines within 2 weeks each month for the past 2 months.
Oh, hold on a sec. First off, Bruce does that off his nightstand before he gets out of bed in the morning, so that ain't much. 5 lines every 2...
thick ones. They're, like, thick.
Hmm. Yeah, like a jumbo wiener size lines?
Yeah.
Like a ballpark Frank type line? No, wait a second. Hold on a second. And listen, everybody. If you're doing 5 jumbo size lines, then say 10 lines. You know what I mean? Because we're all picturing a line. And hold on a second. I'm trying to figure out. I would say the average coke line would be, in my mind, would be about 3 inches long. Yeah, now Anderson said a dollar bill, but that's 6 inches. That's a pretty long line. The average, Bruce, just stop me if I'm wrong here, but the average coke line, say about 3 inches, 2.5 to 3 inches, more like the width of a dollar bill than the length of the dollar bill, and about the thickness of, let's say you took like 3 of those round type toothpicks and put them together. Something, maybe a straw.
The only coke line I see is when one of my kids spills their coke.
I don't know
what you're talking about.
Listen,
this is,
you know what I'm saying? In
very
the
serious call.
In the movies.
Yeah,
in the
serious
movie.
Call.
Courtney. All right. I'm just trying to figure out. Every 2 weeks, you do 5 big lines.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'm best friends with a dealer, so she's always spitting out lines.
Well, if you're best friends with a dealer, well, what are you going to do?
Okay, so you're taking...
It's a good thing you're not best friends with a manure farmer. You'd have to do that, right?
Yeah. So, you've got bipolar disorder?
Yes.
Okay. And have you ever had an addiction problem?
No, but I've always been into drugs.
Okay. You know, the question is an interesting question, but I mean, I think it's sort of an intuitively obvious answer. I mean, cocaine makes you crazy. One of the things you have with bipolar disorder, it's, you know, the manic phase, some people do hear voices, they have very pressured thoughts. And you're taking something that causes the worst parts of your disorder, of your psychiatric disorder. And, you know, for whatever reason, I've never been able to understand why the patients I had that have schizophrenia or bipolar disorder want to abuse speed or coke, because it just really creates that same situation psychiatrically. But many people do that. And you're really, when you crash and burn, it's going to be really, really bad. So the only thing I can tell you is you're putting your system really at risk in other ways that you can't imagine. In terms of lithium, is a very dangerous drug. Somebody called last night, we were talking about it, is a very narrow toxic to therapeutic ratio. So,
have your levels checked?
Yeah. Yeah, but you know, can you...
Hey, hold on a second. Courtney.
What?
You got to stop doing the coke.
Yeah.
You understand me?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really playing with fire here, and you already have a problem. Let's not compound
that. Oh, the lithium's like...
Oh, wait, shut up. Happy. Shut up, you screwball. Now listen, stop doing the coke. You want to kill yourself?
No.
You don't?
No.
All right. Well, then stop doing the coke.
Okay.
All right.
Melissa doesn't want to start.
I don't know what your problem is, and I know you have a bunch of them, and yeah. I feel bad for you, but you have to take control of your life.
My best friend's a dealer. So.
You're 16 years old. Are you in school?
I'm in summer school.
All right. Are you going back to regular school in the fall?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, get your crap together, would you? Sign up for the yearbook staff.
Who can you talk to right now? Who can you talk to tomorrow? I mean, this is not going to go away. You're not going
to
say no to the dealer.
Well, I don't know. She doesn't seem like she's that into it. Can you stop, Courtney?
Yeah, if I wanted to.
All right, do it. You're on lithium.
Wait a minute. Do you have any straight friends?
Yeah, I do. I have two different groups.
Okay. Well, are you willing to stay away from the group that's using? It doesn't sound like you're ready.
Well, no, because I was saying before, but Adam cut me off, is that the lithium's not totally healthy. I'm not totally happy. I'm sure lithium is making me fully happy.
Yeah, well, you're not happy, though, but that's not a pharmaceutical thing. I mean, you have to go outside. You have to participate in life. You have to have hobbies and passions.
But when you have, when you have bipolar disorder, when you have that depression, I bet the cocaine makes you feel like you want to feel. I bet she feels great, and then you get the side effects, and you get the voices, and you get the anxiety, and the depression kicks in. She needs to, and the thing to realize, you can be on a regimen of medication that makes you feel, you're not going to feel like you're loaded on cocaine, but you can feel okay. You can get rid of that depression. You can get rid of the symptoms of the bipolar disorder.
What are you saying?
Well, I'm saying she can...
What should she do? Hurry.
Go back to the doctor. All right, let me talk to you for one second.
No.
All right. Go back to the doctor. She's not on the right regimen of medication. She's not getting what she can get. The lithium is not...
Get it adjusted.
...working the way it should.
Fine.
She needs
Karen.
Something else.
Yeah.
Quiet. Karen, you're 23. What's up?
Well, whenever I have sex, it's like I have a really strong sensation, like I have to have like a bowel movement, like during sex.
Unacceptable.
I see.
Well, I don't do it, but I feel like I have to.
Yeah.
And it's like painful. And I've talked to like, other girlfriends and everything, and they've never had anything like that happen before.
I see.
And I don't know what...
It's always been that way?
Yeah.
And, hey, do you ever try to evacuate your system before the encounter?
Yeah, there's like never anything there.
I see.
Okay, the orientation of your colon, your vagina, different people, the sensation that you need to have a bowel movement is a pressure sensation. It's an expansion of your cylindrical colon telling you that you need to evacuate. And you're exerting pressure, the orientation of your organs down there is such that you're probably exerting pressure on the colon when you have sex, and it's telling your brain that you need to evacuate.
So. Do you think she is laid out a little differently than
probably.
Some?
Right, that's what I was
well,
trying
see,
to
like,
say.
Because, I've asked my gynecologist, and they said that everything, looked all right. Because, I've never understood why that is.
All right, well...
Because they're right up against each other. You're,
Well, yeah, but, I mean...
It sounds like what Adam was talking about earlier. What's normal in one person is not normal in another, and that sensation, certainly when people have the sensation they have to defecate and they don't, you worry about colon cancer. It's one of the, one of the things you want to get checked out. But at your age, you've been checked out. You chalk it up to...
Well, she didn't have that part checked out.
Yeah, I didn't really have that part.
When you do it, well, listen, when you have a pelvic exam, you're supposed to do a rectal exam.
You are?
I've never had that happen.
Well, Adam doesn't.
You don't do that, Adam, with your pelvic exams?
No. How dare you. How dare you, sir.
Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute. When you get a gynecological exam, you don't get a rectal exam,
you
do you? You do? Same price?
Yeah.
I've never had one.
Wait, hold on. Karen, quiet down over there for a second. No, that's all right. I want you to back me up on this, pardon the pun.
Mm-hmm.
I have never, and listen, I'm no gynecologist. Although I could be one, but I'm not a gynecologist. I've talked to many women. They've never talked about a rectal exam during a gynecological visit.
I know you're a gynecologic historian, but I think that you need to research this out a little better. When you do a pelvic exam, you're supposed to do a digital exam of the rectum.
Never heard a woman talk about it.
Well,
that's all I'm saying. And Karen,
in the annals of,
shut up. How many times have you been to the gynecologist in your life?
Every year since I was 18.
Okay. And have you ever had this?
No.
No. So again,
this is an anecdotal report.
Let me explain something about you doctors. Why is it I'm smarter than both you, Andrew, and I didn't even go to junior goddamn college? How does that work?
Must be your pot smoking.
Explain that. How do I know more than you two?
Well, you know, we've talked about you, Adam.
Bruce, it does not work this way. Karen, none of your friends who go to gynecologists have ever talked about this, right?
No one that I've talked to.
So, again, Bruce is lying.
Where'd they go to medical school?
Here's the point. Not Loma, Kraft, and Linda. Loma Linda.
Trying to sing the school song?
Seriously, what part of Mexico is that in? I love that. All right, so, Karen.
Yeah.
Maybe you ought to get a little rectal look-see just to play safe. Yeah, I know.
Well,
as far as this goes, what about getting yourself into a position?
Well, see, that's what I was wondering.
Yes.
Would that have anything to do with it?
I bet it would. I bet that if he was in some sort of position where he was getting some deep penetration or something, that it may aggravate things a little bit.
I mean, your gynecologist didn't take a position history? My goodness.
No.
Wow, and
the wrong person.
Well, I kind of like Bruce's gynecologist, though. Wants to know what position you're in, and then the finger right in the ass.
In the ER, we do a better exam. My God.
All right, hey, but listen, Bruce. If one were to assume the doggy position, for instance, would it relieve some of the pressure on that area? Do you believe, Karen? Why don't you just experiment?
Well, see, that's what I mean. I did that like 2 weeks ago, and that was like when it was the worst.
I see. The doggy?
Yeah.
And also, he's right in the danger zone there. I mean, right?
Yeah.
You get a little soft swirl on the bib.
But, I mean, nothing's ever happened.
Do you ever break wind?
No.
Wow, see, because when I feel like I'm going, I'm breaking wind.
Adam, can you demonstrate a position for me? I'm not familiar with your terminology.
I'm going to show you the wheelbarrow. I want you to
stay away from me.
Okay, here's the point.
Okay.
She ain't farting. She ain't pooping. She's all right. She has this. Experiment with different positions. I bet you'll work something out. And go talk to the anus doctor. Kate?
Yeah.
You're 14?
Yeah.
You and your friend were both molested by the same guy?
Right.
How old is the guy?
Well, when we were molested, this was like a couple of years ago. He was like in his 40s.
Perfectly normal, perfectly healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. And you were 12?
No, we were like 7. It went on for like a couple of years.
Oh, okay. But it ended a couple of years ago?
It ended about 5 years ago.
Okay, didn't you say something happened a couple of years ago?
No, that's when it ended.
5 years ago?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, hold on there, Kate.
Okay.
Anyway, she did not make a good witness for the prosecution. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to figure out what the hell happened to Kate and her friend with the molestation, the 4-year-old, and all that after that. It is Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Bruce filling in for Dr. Drew and doing a mediocre job.
Yeah. I just want to say with Karen, since she's somebody has an inadequate gynecologist, the pressure and pain during sex, she could have a tumor, ovarian tumor, or something else. She made an ultrasound. She needs to see a good gynecologist and get that checked out.
Well, maybe go to another gynecologist. Yeah. That was our last call.
Okay.
All right. Now, when we left off, we were speaking to Kate. Kate is 14.
Yes.
Her and her friend were both molested by the same gentleman. He was 40 approximately.
Yes.
It started when you were, what, 7 years old?
Yeah.
Is he dead now, I hope?
No.
Went on for a couple of years.
Yeah, like it started when we were like 6 or 7, and it went on until we were like 8.
And was this, who was this man?
It was my mom's boyfriend.
Oh, oh, good times. And is he still in the picture?
No. We were really close to my mom. We told her, and she broke up with him.
Oh, that's nice.
See, but
and never pressed any charges or anything?
No.
Well, I'm sure he got it out of his system. He'll never do that again. And did you ever get any therapy or anything for him?
No.
Oh, I see. It's important. What did he do to you?
He just, like, touched us and stuff. I mean, it was like, I don't know, because we were little and we didn't know what it was. And it was just, like, wrong, you know?
Right. You knew it was wrong, but he didn't have sex with you.
No.
I see.
What about your girlfriend? Is she still your friend?
Yeah.
And did she tell her parents, or?
Yeah, she told her parents. And they didn't really have anything to say about it. They just kind of were like, okay, whatever.
Okay, you really need to talk to somebody. I know it seems like, okay, that was in the past and it's over now, but things like this will come back and cause problems later on when you start having relationships.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask, because, like, I just, like, want to know if anything was going to, like, will it affect me, like, emotionally? Like, I mean, I know, like, it probably will, but
it, you know, it's different in different people, but almost all the time there is some effect, and it is the type of thing where if you get help, if you talk to somebody, it's going to really make things a lot better. And
yeah.
A lot of people are afraid to tell another adult. Usually once you tell your parents, they have the wherewithal to help you to get to see somebody.
Yeah, this the mom who brought home the molester. And listen, you moms out there. And okay, two things. A, this 40-year-old guy should have his nuts cut off and put in a Polish cannon and fired over the border into Mexico.
Yeah. And I'd love
I was
to
able to
myself.
Assault two nationalities with one analogy there. Okay, that's number one. Number two, though, you moms who go out to the truck stops, find the molesters, and bring the fox back to the chicken coop with you, you are just as responsible.
Right.
There's no doubt that the guy's a criminal, and there's no doubt that the guy should be put to death. I have no qualms with that at all. But there's a million a-holes out there, ladies. Do not bring them home to your 7-year-old daughters. Show just a little bit of restraint, please. I know Mama was probably goosed by Dad or Grandpa, and that's why she was attracted to this guy. But understand, if you got a goosing, anyone you're attracted to is probably going to goose your kids. That's going to be the name of
but
the
here, book. But here's the thing. The mom doesn't report it. The guy doesn't get taken to the authority or doesn't get consequences. And the kid, in the kid's head, it's like, well, it really wasn't that bad. The guy, there needs to be an adult in, what's her name? In Kate's life that wants to kill this guy. And that's the emotion, the anger and the outrage that this is happening. Somebody's got to express
good, healthy,
that.
Good, healthy, right?
Yeah, but yeah. It's not happening.
So someone did that to your kid, you'd
you know
take
what?
A rusty form implement to them, wouldn't you?
I believe in gun control to some extent, but I think there's a, you know, guys like that need to have consequences. And
dude,
God forbid it's done by people that aren't authorities. But
listen, I look at it as just putting them out of their misery.
Let
by
me just,
the way,
let me ask.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah. Let me ask you something.
I don't know.
Kate.
Yeah.
Is there an adult in your life you can talk to besides your mom? You have a minister. School
yeah,
counselor.
Actually, I do have like a psychiatrist, therapist person.
And you didn't tell him about this?
I've only been seeing her for like a few times. I haven't.
Are you comfortable with her? Do you like her?
Yeah.
Can you tell her next time? It's really, really important.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, guys,
hear that.
Like,
just yeah, do
right.
That. All right. And listen, we'll see these guys in
well,
hell.
No,
don't worry.
People like Kate, they feel guilty. They feel like in some way they caused it to happen. That's universal. And a therapist is going to reassure them and help them to understand better. Kate needs to get angry. She needs to express that anger. And sometimes when adults don't appropriately react with anger, like her mom should have,
yeah,
her mom should want to go out and kill the guy.
Yeah.
Not just let him go.
Well, she probably gave him a nice BJ and sent him on his way.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron?
Yes.
You're 19.
Yes.
What's up?
Me and my boyfriend have started having sex very frequently, and we're having to use a lot of lubricants because I have a hard time getting wet. Is that normal?
Yeah. Perfectly normal.
Okay, because I just didn't want him to think that I'm, like, not attracted to him because I'm going to marry this guy.
You are.
Good.
Why aren't you attracted to him?
I am. I'm very sexually attracted to him. It's just.
Have you been with other men?
A couple, yeah.
How was the lubrication with those men?
Well, it was only like one time with each guy. I've never been this sexually active.
I see. But how was the lubrication? How come no one can answer one of my goddamn questions? How was the lubrication with those men?
It was fine.
Uh-oh, where are you going with this?
Well, she's been with a couple of guys. She had fine lubrication with them. Now she's with this guy.
Oh, maybe he's gay. You think he's gay?
No, I'm saying the proof is in the vaginal pudding, is what I'm saying. Women, the vagina does their talking for them.
And thinking.
No, it does. You want to know if a woman is sexually attracted to you when you see how much she's lubricated. That's how you can tell. So, Aaron, you're not lubricating. Maybe you're not attracted to this guy sexually.
I'm very attracted to him sexually.
You are?
Yes.
Well, then lube it up, honey. All right. Yeah, that's fine.
You're fine.
Use some of that water soluble stuff, all right?
Okay.
All right?
All right.
I use just a handful of that hair gel. Very nice.
No, not a good idea.
No. Yeah. No, I'll tell you what'll work nicely. Prel.
Oh,
some good dandruff shampoo works nicely.
Oh, yeah. You like the tingly feeling right now.
Yeah, we'll sell some blue down there.
Mm. Ouch.
All right. All right, Aaron.
You're fine.
Good times, huh?
All right, thanks.
All right, we'll take ourselves a break. We'll be back. Yep. Well, there you go. All right, everyone. Tommy Chong going to be in here tomorrow night from Cheech and Chong. We'll talk to him, Long Beach Dub All-Stars, a little bit later in the week. I want to thank Bruce for coming in, doing a wonderful job.
Can I go home now?
Yes, you can if your wife will let you in. Until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Bruce saying mahalo.
Hey, well, I'm having anal sex with my boyfriend, and I don't want to, he wants to go all the way with me.
Well, now, this is the stuff expressed on Loveline is not necessarily the stuff of the staff, management, sponsors, or anyone else, including Westwood One Entertainment. Loveline is produced by Ann Wilkins-Ingold. Now, please enjoy these birds.